through 13, and this can be found on page 175 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. How many times we hear that? Faith, hope, love, or the King James Version says faith, hope, charity. When we read love, the danger for us in the current generation, what was it, 1968? Love, not war. The love that Paul speaks to here is something that is so different from that make love, not war. Because it's not eros. And see, when we speak English, we say love, and we think of love as kind of like a feeling. I'm in love. It's an emotion. It might be a physical. It might be a chemical attraction to someone or something. I love chocolate. Oh, boy, do I love chocolate. Do I love cookies? I don't care what kind of cookie it is. I love many things. But the love that Paul speaks of here is really adding this correction, which he finishes in chapter 14, but he's addressing the church at Corinth. Now, keep in mind, Paul writes most times to correct or to uplift these churches that he's been part of founding. And we can read into those because there's nothing new under the sun. Just as the Corinthians had problems, so do we. How many churches out there glorify, a wonderful sermon, somebody that's obviously grasped by the Lord. They lift up wonderful music. They look at the gifts and talents that people have, that they have been blessed with. And Paul addresses that in 1 Corinthians 12, and he says, you know, he lists those nine gifts of the Spirit. They're all gifts of the Spirit. They're all given by God, the Lord, for a purpose, for the good of others. He speaks in verses 12 through 30 in chapter 12 about us all being parts of a body. Just as, you know, we have fingers and hands and legs, so each of us is part of the body of Christ. Now he's coming and closing the loop on that because he's saying, you know, there are all those wonderful gifts out there, and they are for the good of others. And those gifts, those attributes, those manifestations of the Holy Spirit that we can see, whether it's speaking in tongues or prophesying, all of those manifestations, all of those gifts, relatively speaking, are less than love. And not just eros, the physical love, not just phileo, the brotherly love, but agape. Agape, the higher love. In other words, we are like God. We are loving someone just as God loves us. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. That's not a piece of advice. He is telling us, love one another as I have loved you. Which is a continuation of telling us to love one another as God has loved us because he sent Jesus Christ, his Son. You know, we can follow the Ten Commandments. We can try to follow the law. But what does the law show us? How we fall short. How we don't measure up. If we were counting on the law alone to get us to heaven, to be in the presence of our God and Creator, then we fail. We fall short. Even if it's a little bit that we're able to do, we fall short. It's only by God's love that he causes the Word of God to take on flesh and dwell among us. God with us, Emmanuel. This is the embodiment of love. This is not just a feeling, as one of the artists, a musician said, love is not a feeling, it's an act of your will. Love is, God's love for us is not just the Word of God that we read in the Bible and the Scriptures, but it's the Word of God that takes on flesh and comes and dwells among us and goes to a cross and hangs on that cross until he's given up his life for you and for me. That's love. Not just a feeling. Not just a physical attraction. Not just some chemical that's there. Paul says, if I speak in tongues of mortals and of angels but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Primarily what he's saying is, you know, love is the most important thing. And it's not the phileo, not the eros, but it's the like love. It's the God-like love. It's the higher love. It's that sacrifice of self, that selflessness embodied in this love. And you're doing it not because somebody's going to pay you back for something. You know, I'm going to do you a good deed because you're going to pay me back. I'm going to invite you to dinner because you're going to take me to dinner. No, invite the person who can never repay you. Invite the person into your house to have dinner with you who could not repay you. They don't have the wherewithal to provide you with this smorgasbord or this lovely cake and cookies. But invite them. And out of love, share with them as God has blessed you. It's love. Because the church was prioritizing these gifts. Yes, you know, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, that glossolalia, the Greek term speaking in tongues, that Holy Spirit speaking. They wanted that. Or they wanted to be able to prophesy. Or they wanted to interpret. Or they wanted to heal. All of these are gifts. But love is primary. Love also is necessary. There must be love as the root for all of the things that we do. All of these good deeds, all of these gifts and talents that we have. Why do we have them? Because God loves us enough to make himself manifest. Those gifts we have, that's the embodiment of God. That's the embodiment of Christ. A healing grace, a healing touch, that lovely music that just lifts us to heights. Hallelujah. Even if you're not standing up there or sitting up there in the balcony where Alex is, and I know he's enjoying it up there. Right, Alex? All right. Maybe. But if I don't have love, then I'm a clanging cymbal. You know, the teacher in Charlie Brown? Wah, 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 wah. It's just so much chatter. It's just so much chatter. If it's not love, then it is just that. If love is not the reason for it, if love is not the motive behind it, then that's all it is. Wah, 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 wah. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries, all knowledge, if I have all faith as to move mountains, but if I do not have love, I am nothing. Again, if I have all of these gifts, but I don't have love, then they are empty. If I give away all of my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. In other words, if I make all these sacrifices, but I'm making it, you know, to make a show of, look at what I've done, then I gain nothing. Love has to be the motive. Love has to be the reason. And it can't be, oh, that person is so attractive. Oh, I just feel so enamored with that person. I'm willing to do anything for them. I mean, I was pursuing Terry for a couple of years, and she wasn't going to have anything to do with that silly sailor boy. I mean, she'd lived most of her life in Norfolk, and you know the signs down in Norfolk that say, sailors and dogs keep off the grass. But it's love. She was one attractive person, but it was her. Those intangibles. I'll be honest. I was attracted to some of the tangibles. I'm human. But it has to be something greater than that. It has to be a love. To be part of what God is at work doing. That's why we do this. That's why we should want these gifts and these talents. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant. He goes through and he lists these qualities of love. And he says what love is first. Patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. And then it's not. You know, oftentimes we can define what something is by what it is not. When you say love is patient, love is kind, well, okay, well, what's really patient? What's really kind? Well, it's not this. It's not envious. It's not boastful or arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. And you guys can, I think it's page 178. Is it 175? You guys can go there if you want. If you don't want, go anyway. It doesn't insist on its own way. It is not irritable. It's not or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. Well, what is truth? Not these shades of gray or ambivalence or, well, you know, it depends on what your perspective is on it, whether it's right or wrong. I'm sorry. It's black and white. Now, that's not saying the human racial color of our skin, but it's black and white. It's black and white. It's right or wrong. It's either in the scriptures that says, yes, do that, or it's in the scriptures and it says, no, don't do that. I don't get to, it's one of those things where, you know, it's one of these gray areas. I don't think so. The verse, I want you hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, ambivalent or in the gray, what? I'll spew you out of my mouth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Prophecies, they'll come to an end. Tongues, they'll cease. Knowledge, it will come to an end. See, think about this. There is nothing permanent in our lives today except the love of God. That's the only thing that's permanent. That's the only thing that you can count on when everything else in the world, everything else, everyone else turns against you. The love of God will always be consistently there for you. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part, but when the comes, the partial will come to an end. Now, what Paul's saying here, some of the commentators say, is he is addressing that eschatological, the end times, when Jesus comes back. You know, all these other things, they're good now, but they will cease. That's not to say that people cannot work miracles, that those gifts have ceased. The gifts will stay until Christ comes back, because when Christ comes back, then those gifts, there will be no need, because we'll be in the presence of God, we'll be in that new Jerusalem, we'll have a new heaven and a new earth, and we'll have a new body. And we won't need the gifts of prophecy. We won't need the gifts of healing. We won't need those gifts because we'll have the presence of God, that love, right there with us and in us. And we'll be part of that. And we won't need knowledge and we won't need wisdom. We'll already have it. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. Now, Paul is not just speaking. He was using an analogy that everybody would understand. He's saying, look, when we become mature, when we get that new body, when we fully understand everything, well, then we won't be doing these things like children. It's when we gain the right understanding. Then we won't be speaking out of the left side of our mouth. We'll be speaking truth. For now we see in a mirror dimly, and some translations read a glass darkly. In other words, we're not seeing it clearly. But when we will see face to face, now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been known fully. So we know love is necessary. We know that there are characters of love by what it is and what it is not. And then there's the permanence of love and also the primacy. I want you to open your Bibles to that page, and I want you to read with me 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. I want you to read that. I want you to take it home and underline it in your own Bible. Because this addresses what Paul would say is Paul's theory of relativity. You know, Einstein has a theory of relativity. There's a lot of knowledgeable and wise people who know that. I can't recite it. But I'll tell you what, Paul's theory, not just theory, God's relativity. And now, faith, hope, and love abide. Now, when it says abide, they're in you. They should be in us. Faith and the hope for things not yet seen or not made evident. Hebrews 11:1. That hope, and that hope is that expectation or anticipation in whom and for whom? For God. These three, faith, hope, and love, all three of them. Say with me the last, but the greatest of these is love. Love is not a feeling, it's an act of your will. Love is not just some feeling. It's an act of your will. And it's not just you doing what you want to do. It's you doing what God wants you to do. Faith. Hope. Love. The greatest of these is love. Amen.